Sarah is an emotionally driven parsha. At the beginning of the parsha, we deal with sorrow, we deal with the burial of Sarah and the seemingly untimely death of Sarah. Then we get to the middle of the parsha, and all of a sudden we're rejoicing with the marriage of Yitzchak. It seems to be a change of emotions. The Mefarshim point out this idea of these two emotions that are occurring in the parsha, similar emotions. One represents the end of an era, one represents the beginning of a new era, which is really what Yitzchak's marriage represents. It represents the next stage in Klal Yisrael's building, which will be by the next generation. But in the beginning of the parasha, Rashi tells us that when the Torah lays out the years of Sarah, she lived 127 years. And Rashi says, what is the reason it has to write the word Shana at each one? So Rashi tells us, quoting in Medrash, that we're supposed to darshan, she was 100 like she was 20, lechet, with regard to sin. Just like a 20, bas 20 has no sin, so too she's not a bas ancient. Which Reb Steinman points out that doesn't work with the Ramban that we mentioned a few weeks ago. The Ramban learned that she did sin. The fact that she caused pain to hug her was a sin, so this doesn't seem to work with the Medrash. Also, many of us point out that 20, what's 20? We thought boys get punished at 13 and girls get punished at 12. What's 20? So some people switch around the Medrash. They say that she was kibas zayin for punishment, and bas chof liyof, she was like a 20-year-old for beauty, and a 7-year-old for age, because it's very troubling. Rashi, the way we have it, Rashi quotes the Medrash, she was like a 7-year-old liyof. So most of us don't like to associate, you know, we don't talk about beautiful with such small children. So you get yourself into trouble with these types of things, you know, with referring to a little girl in such a beauty. So I always felt that the Pshat in Rashi is that what Rashi means, labas yoifi, doesn't mean a physical beauty. If you meet a kid, a small child under the age of 10 or 11, they're innocent. They don't yet know policies and politics and Republicans and Democrats and what size yarmulke you wear and how you vote. They're innocent. There's a certain innocence that children have that's so pure and beautiful. The problem is as they get older, they get corrupted. They learn more and they get pushed one way or the other. The beauty of Sarah is Bazayim Leif means Sarah stayed that innocent 7-year-old her whole life. She didn't see people in the chitzoini. She didn't see how they look on the outside. She saw the inside. She saw everyone to be good and everyone to be innocent and everyone to be pure. That's what Rashi means when the Torah is telling us about Zayim Leif. Rashi tells us that the reason why Sarah died seems to be due to the Akedah. Rashi quotes a Medrash that the connection between the passing of Sarah and the Akedah was because of the Akedah Sarah died. So all the Mefarshim asked, they say it's very hard to believe. We know Sarah was on a higher level than Avraham Avinu with regard to Nevuah. She was, so to say, much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could it be that Sarah, the great Sarah, wasn't able to withstand the Nisayin? So Chaim Shmulevitz suggests in his Sichas Musar, he says, because it wasn't really fair. Avraham Avinu got prepped for this much better. Hashem said, take your son. He did it slowly. No immediate news. Sarah was, boom, right away she gets the news. Right? She read about it, you know, front page on the newspaper. She didn't have that time to let it digest slowly, as opposed to Avraham Avinu was sudden. Others suggest slightly different. Others suggest that it wasn't Sarah's Nisayan. We have the power to overcome our Nisayan. This was Avraham Avinu's Nisayan. It wasn't Sarah's Nisayan. This was a tailor-made Nisayan for Avraham Avinu, and therefore Sarah didn't have the tools to fight it because it wasn't her Nisayan. The Nesiv HaShalom has an unbelievable pshat that changes his entire Rashi. The Nesiv HaShalom says it's not true. You know why Sarah died at this time? Because it was her time to go. It was time. Sarah was supposed to die now. So what was the connection between the Akedah? Was to see if Avraham Avinu was going to regret the whole story. Avraham Avinu is going to come home after all the sacrifice that he put in. He'll say to himself, was it really worth it? Was it worth it? I lost a wife over it. Now Avraham Avinu, it was really Sarah's time to go. It wasn't that she had this massive heart attack that everyone tells us that this is why it happened. It was her time to go. Avraham Avinu didn't know that. Avinu comes home and says to himself, did this make sense? Was this worth it? Look what I lost. I lost a wife out of the deal. Was it really worth it to do all that I did? And he explains that we say in davening, v'hoser sotay milfaneinu, we ask Hashem to remove the sotah from before us, umei achareinu, and from after us. So says the Slon Rebbe, what does it mean the sotah after us? He says, because many times we do something, and it's hard, and we do it, and then we say it afterwards, ach, why did I do that? Why was that Oymid bin Nisoyan? Look what I lost. I gave up on this and I gave up on that. And you say to yourself, it wasn't really worth it. And you lose a little bit schar for the Nisoyan that you overcame. So same thing also. But Avraham Avinu regret his decision to do the Akedah. That was the Nisoyan. And therefore, that's why Sarah died now, to say, continuation of the test. To see if Avraham Avinu will say to himself, why? Was it really worth it? And that's what he writes. See, Hashem says, we daven every day that Hashem shouldn't give that to us. We shouldn't have a Nisoyan after the Nisoyan. Let us have the Nisoyan, pass it and move on. Not that we second guess ourselves even afterwards.
Another
yeah.
Huh? She died when she heard that it didn't go through.
That's another pshat, correct. She died when she heard it didn't go through and she was all upset. She said, what's going on over here? This is not the way I raised my son. It's not the way my husband is. That's true. That's another very good pshat. A very interesting pshat as well. That Sarah died because she was disappointed with the outcome. She didn't know all the details news, right? We know today there's a lot of fake news out there, so you don't get the whole story. So she didn't get all the details of the story.
That's right.
It's Medoik like that in Rashi, 100%. Rashi defines Sarah's life in three words. Kulam shavin l'toiva. They were all good. Now, if you had to pick someone in history who had a tough life, I'd pick Sarah as someone who had a very difficult life. And just think about the psukim. Forget any midrashim. Sarah had an extremely difficult life. Sarah first went childless. Then she brought Hagar into the relationship, and then Hagar made things complicated. Then they had to go down to Mitzrayim. And then there was Yishmael. And then finally, she has this baby, this miraculous baby, and she doesn't even get to see him go to chuppah. She doesn't get to see him graduate. No grandkids, nothing. That's kulam shavon l'toiva. All her years were good. So Rav Moshe Shternbach explains, kulam shavon l'toiva means all her years were the same, which means her ideologies never changed from year to year. Some people, their ideologies and their hashkafas change one year to the next, depending who they're around, which group of friends they're with, who they're with. But you try to work with what you have. Says Rav Moshe Shternbach, Sarah was the same way she was all the time. Whatever hashkafas and ideologies and beliefs she had, she stuck with it from day one till day 127. It didn't change, it didn't waver. She was the same. That's what kulam shavon l'toiva means. But the Nesiva Shalom explained, no, kulam shavon l'toiva means that she viewed her life as terrific. Sarah lived the most happiest life you could have had. We look at her life and say, well, what a horrible life. She perceives her life as terrific because in her mind, whatever Hashem gives me is what I'm supposed to have. The Nesiva Shalom goes even a step further. He says that we find in this week's Parsha, Parshas Toldos, we'll talk about this more in Neder Wednesday night, Chumash, we find that Avram, Yitzchak and Rivka were the first couple to daven for infertility. Ask the Nesiva Shalom, what happened to Avram and Sarah? They had serious infertility issues. Why didn't they daven? Why don't we find it that Avraham Avinu sets up a tefillah and he goes to the corner? Why don't we find that by Avraham Avinu? So he says a massive chiddush. He says because Avraham Avinu and Sarah had such a love of Amunah where they said to themselves, if Hashem gives me a baby, I'm supposed to have it. If Hashem is not giving me a baby, I'm not supposed to have it. That's it. Why go extra? This is exactly what Hashem is giving me, is what I want, is what I need. Sarah lived a life. Her whole life was, I'm getting what Hashem needs. What I'm getting from Hashem is exactly what I need. Nothing more, nothing less. That's a whole different level of Amunah. That obviously the questions on hishtadlus and other things, but that was the way they lived their life. So for Sarah Kulam Shavu L'Tayvah, she lived the happiest life in the world. Whatever Hashem gave her, she was happy with.
Didn't Avram question God at one point?
Avram Avinu did, yeah. Avram Avinu did, and he got in trouble for it. Sarah also got into trouble, as we'll see in a second. The Pasuk tells us, there's a medrash, there's a famous medrash that Rabbi Akiva was saying Shir once, and people started to fall asleep. And he wanted to wake up his Talmidim. So today, we have other ways of waking up Talmidim. But what he did was, he told his Talmidim, you know why Esther ruled over 127 kings, Medinois? Because Sarah lived 127 years. So if you do that to Talmidim today, they'll go further to sleep. Not wake up, they'll go deeper into sleep. Oh, he's still talking Torah, I'm going back to sleep. So what happened? So that was Rabbi Akiva's idea to get his Talmidim up. So everyone talks about what does one have to do with the other. So Rabbi Mordechai Elephant has a shtickle Torah in Zahav Mordechai. Well, he wants to explain it like this. He says, what was pshat in the 127 years kulam shavon l'toiva? He says the pshat over here is that Sarah lived life with the same attitude no matter what was going on. Not hashkafically, but with the same simcha sachaim. When she had the highs and the lows of life. Most of us, when we have the highs, we're high, and when we have the lows, it shows. Says Rabbi Elephant, that's not the way Sarah lived her life. Sarah was high, well, had the high all the time. No matter what was going on in life, when she was dealing with hardship, and she was dealing with Hagar, and she was dealing with Yishmael, she was always the same Simcha Sachaim always existed. She always lived with the same happiness, even through the difficult times. And he said, Sarah, Esther was the same way. Esther lived her life with the same Simcha when things were good. Esther had also a very hard childhood. The Gemara Megillah says she grew up as an orphan. She had no parents. Mordechai raised her. And then she was taken into the king. She had a lot of ups and downs in her life. And he brings rise from a drushin that through the ups and downs, Esther always lived with the same Simcha Sachaim. So that was the connection he explains. So what was Rabbi Akiva telling us, Talmidim? You have to remember history. When did Rabbi Akiva live? Rabbi Akiva lived at a really difficult time in Klal Yisrael's history. Right after Chorban Bayis Sheni, things were not very good for the Jewish people. So Rabbi Akiva was telling us, Talmidim, guys, you got to be besimcha no matter what's going on. Right now we're at one of the low points in Jewish history. But we have to live with the same joy that we have at the high moments when we have at the low moments. That's how he explains a very interesting medrash about the connection between Sarah and Esther. Similar to what Moshe Shtambach is suggesting, that Sarah lived her life with a consistency. Her consistency wasn't necessarily it wasn't focused on the ruchnius, but it was on the simchas achayin that she had, no matter what was going on, and that defines kulam shavu l'toiva. Rabbeinu Yoina and many other Rishayim learn that the last and the final nisayin of Avraham Avinu was burying his wife Sarah. So the obvious question is, this is a nisayin? Last week's parasha, I get it, that was a pretty big deal. You take your only son, you offer him on a mizbech. To deal with business deal, people do this every single day for parnasa. This is no major nisayin. Rabbeinu Yoina writes that this was the biggest nisayin. Of all the nisayin, this was this. Very hard to explain. Befrat, as we mentioned many weeks ago, that jumping into a bush with Nimrod, not a nisayin. But making a business deal with a shady business guy, oh, that's a big nisayin. For many people in this room, that's, we do this every day. We have to deal with difficult people and businesses. No one gets credit like Avraham Avinu's nisayin. So there are many mefarshim give various pshatim. I think the most, the one I could connect to with the most understanding, I think my friend alludes to this, is that the nisayin was, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to kick me when I'm already down? Avraham Avinu could say to himself, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I just lost my wife. You know, she was my partner in life. She was a great woman. She was making unbelievable differences in Klal Yisrael. Now, just make it easy for me. Why make it so much more difficult than it has to be? This was a sudden death. This was a tragedy. So you don't want it to be even more difficult post the tragedy. Just make it easy. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I had the tragedy. I had the blow. Let's just bury Sarah and make life easy. And then you're going to give me another Tzarah. It's the kick me when you're down attitude. Says the Mefarshim, that was why it's Takana Sayyid. When a person feels like he's at the lowest point, then he gets one more kick, or adding, as they say, add salt to the wounds. You say to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what more do you want from me? Come on, haven't I been through enough? And that's why this was Taka considered a massive Nisayan, because of all that Avraham Avinu went through, and all that he, so to say, gave up, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing him one more time to see, is he going to be able to put up with dealing with effort. There's a small chaf in the Pasuk L'Liv Kaisa, Balaturim has two pshatim, why it's a small chaf, but it's a very famous var from Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. Maral Diskin, in his sefer, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin was really the first Brisker Rav. He was a real Rav of Brisk, before the Beis HaLevi. Reb Chaim held Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin like a Rishon. He held the Imamish was a Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. He was in Europe until he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He made Aliyah in the late 1800s, which wasn't very common. And when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he saw how desperate the situation was, how many Yisraelim were starving. That's when he opened up the Diskin orphanage. That's because he saw there was a need. It's interesting, believe it or not, in the late 1800s, he was offered to be chief rabbi of New York City. Shmuel Leib Diskin could have ended up in New York City. He turned down the job. He wasn't interested in going. But he was offered the job in the late 1800s, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Shmuel Leib Diskin writes a pshat, which is somewhat disputed, because he writes, what's the small chaf? Says Shmuel Leib Diskin, Avraham Avinu had a daughter. That daughter died the same day Sarah died. So he's supposed to read the small chaf as if the chaf is not there. He's supposed to read the pasuk that Avram came to eulogize Sarah ulibita, and to eulogize her daughter as well. This is the chiddush from Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this, believe it or not. An Igros Moshe. Someone asked Rav Moshe about this, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. So Rav Moshe says, oh, first of all, I don't have the sefer. I don't have the sefer, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin. And Rav Moshe says, I find it very hard to believe. Rav Moshe says he can't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give Avraham Avinu such a blow like that, to lose a wife and a daughter on the same day without any reference for it in the Torah. It should have been, you know, the fact that Sarah died, the terrorist says Sarah died, so we trust it. But to say that the daughter died on the same day, very hard to believe. So Rav Moshe seems to be very skeptical, obviously respectful. He says, listen, I don't have the sefer. If I have the sefer, it's a different story. But he kind of respectfully declines his notion that the daughter died on the same day. Others also had this. The Binyan Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Vilna. Reb Shlomo Vilna, who was the big guy in the Vilna in the late 1800s, he was the one who basically put together the Vilna Shas. Reb Shlomo Vilna, he gets credit for the Vilna Shas. So he had this medrash also. And he says he had this medrash, and he calls a shtickle Torah from his father. He says, based on this medrash, you can answer up Tosfos' kasha in Baba Basra. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Aleph. The Gemara says, V'ashem Be'echas Avram Bakoil Tu Pshatim. One pshat was that he had a daughter, her name was Bakoil. The other pshat was he didn't have a daughter. Tu Pshatim in the Gemara. So Tosfos over there asks on the Gemara, one sec, if Avram Avinu had a daughter, what was the big shidduch crisis with Yitzchak? Let Avraham Avinu's daughter marry Yitzchak. Ben Noach is allowed to, according to that sheet, Tosfos quotes. Ben Noach is allowed to marry his sister. So why could Avraham Avinu's daughter marry Yitzchak? That's a fact, Tosfos. So says the Binyan Shlomo, says Reb Shlomo Vilna from his father. He says, it's not a kasha. She's not alive anymore. She died. It answers up Tosfos' kasha. The problem is, it's such a good answer. Why doesn't Tosfos give it? Tosfos gives two other answers over there. One answer that Tosfos gives is that she was too young, this daughter. This daughter was too young, she wasn't exactly available for Shaduchim. Now, last me, Rivka was three. The Torah says it might be Taisus Lashitas. It's the famous Shitas at Taisus in Yavamas. Tas Kain Babali at Taisus. It says Rivka wasn't three. Rivka was 14 when she got married. So, okay, 14 is already a whole different story. 14 already, she can have grandkids by then in those days. So that maybe is a little better. Taisus gives a second answer. Taisus' second answer was that this girl came from Hagar. If Avraham Avinu had a daughter, she came from Hagar. And Avraham Avinu wasn't comfortable with Yitzchak marrying Bas Hagar. Okay. So it says Reb Shlomo Vilna that Tosfos is a kasha. It's not a kasha. If you go like this medrash, it's a medrash somewhere. Then he adds another vart. He says that the Nadib Yehuda, this is famous, when the Nadib Yehuda was eulogizing his wife, when she died, so he gave a husband for his wife. He started off with this pasuk. He says, why is it saying the pasuk, Avram the spoiled Sarah of Livka Sarah? Avram came to eulogize Sarah. Of course he came to eulogize Sarah. She was the one who died. Everyone knows that. You don't need to write that in the Torah. The Leviah was from Sarah, so of course he came to eulogize Sarah. Why does the Torah write Liz Sarah? So the Yehuda said, he said, many times when great wives of great rabbis die, the hesped is really for the rabbi. They get up and they say how great the rabbi was and how great his yeshiva is, and the yeshiva was so great, and his wife helped him do everything she did, but they don't focus on the wife as an individual person. Says the Neid Behuda, at his own wife's Levi, he said, I'm going to focus on my wife as a person. Not because she's my Rebbetzin, not because she's my wife and you're all here because, well, I'm the Neid Behuda and she's the Neid Behuda's wife. She herself was an independent person. That's why the passage says, Ve'yavavim the spoiler Sarah, to eulogize Sarah. Sarah as Sarah, as being a human being. All the great work Sarah accomplished, not just being the wife of a Talmud Chacham, being the great independent person Sarah was. That's the Neid Behuda's chat. So says Reb Shlomo Vilna, he says, Faket, according to this medrash, it's even better. There were two Levi's taking place. There was the daughter and Sarah. So who was Avram eulogizing? So the pasuk writes, first he was eulogizing Sarah, then Lubita, then he dealt with his daughter. You have to at least speak it out according to this. So he says, according to that, it would answer up the kasha of why did it say, Vayavay Avon the spoil of Sarah? Why does it tell you have to speak it out? Later on in the parasha, we find an unbelievable... Right, so why can't he marry his sister? Yeah, one could have suggested that. We'll have to talk about, Wednesday, we'll talk about to what extent did the others keep Kala Terekula. But there's an unbelievable Ramban, and this is worth mentioning, and it ties into the beginning of the parasha. We just mentioned the Gemara Baba Basra, the Gemara had two pshat, and what does it mean, Bakril? Either he had a daughter, or the other opinion of the Gemara was he didn't have a daughter. So Ramban asks, how do you fit that into Pasuk? Hashem berichas Avram Bakar, Hashem gave Avram a bracha that he didn't have a daughter. Doesn't seem to make too much sense. Generally speaking, a bracha is something you want, not the lack of something. So the Ramban writes, no. To Avram Avinu, not having a daughter was the greatest bracha. Not because of, you know, tuition and all those other things. You know why, says the Ramban? Because he would have no one for her to marry. Avram Avinu would have been stuck in a situation where she would have to marry someone that he would not be happy with. Because, again, the wife is so a little bit more subservient to the husband. She'd have to move to where the husband wants and go to the community the husband wants. He says there weren't that many great guys out there. Many people, even if I deserve, the communities were not terrific. To Avram Avinu, if he would have had a daughter, he'd be very, very disturbed by who she'd end up with. What type of family she'd be married to. He was very worried. There wasn't so many options. So says Ramban, that's Taka Abracha. And this Ramban is so powerful in our lives that many times we realize, why didn't I get something? Why didn't I get the raise? Or why didn't I get this? Or why don't I have that? Sometimes we have to step back and realize not getting something could be the biggest bracha. We might not always realize it. But says the Ramban, Hashem Beirach, this was a bracha not to have a daughter. Why? Because it wouldn't have been good for Avram Avinu. He would have been so disappointed because she'd end up marrying someone who would be an Aviva Dezara and it would take her away. You should see the way the Ramban writes. It's a beautiful piece of Ramban. He writes that Avram Avinu doesn't want his daughter to be taken away to a foreign land to go to another community where it's not going to have the same Torah values Avram Avinu instilled in her. Beautiful piece he writes over there. It's a short Ramban. And he says, so Avram Avinu, this was the greatest bracha. The fact that Avram Avinu wasn't presented with this dilemma of what to do or how to deal with Shidduchim when it's going to come up for his daughter, to Avram Avinu, that was viewed as Hashem Berechas Avram Bakar. Okay. So we left off last week. We're trying to figure out this kinyan called Dalet Amos. We have a concept based in the Gemara in Gittin by us that if a Isha has a get thrown within her four Amos, that she's Migoresh. So we spoke last week heavily in Rishonim, two ways of understanding how this exactly works. One way in the Rishonim, it works with Hefker Bez and Hefker. And what Chazal did was they made the Dalet Amos like an extension of her Chatzar. We saw such terminology in Rishonim that they made it kichatzeira. They made the four amos that extends like her backyard. Although it's obviously not her backyard, it's in public domain. They extended her backyard to be included in the Dalet Amos in the Rishas HaRab. That was based on the premise of Hefker Bez and Hefker, assuming that a kinyan de Rabbanon can function on a deraisa level. The other way we suggested was that instead of making the four amos around her extension of her backyard, they just gifted her the object. Meaning, if a person is walking in the street and he finds a lost object, and it's within his Dalet Amos, so the halacha is he owns it. Why? So one way of saying it is because his Rishos extends four Amos, and it's as if the object is in his backyard. The other way of saying it is no. Chazal decided that because we want to circumvent fights, we're going to give you the object. We're going to make it yours miraculously, without any regular mechanics of Kenyan. We're going to basically give it to you, based on the rule of Hefke Bez and Hefke. We also saw, when it comes to at least divorce, we have a third option called Afkin Rabbanon LeKedushin Mineh. The Rabbanon could just pull the Kedushin. They could say that the marriage that you guys had 20 years ago was never a marriage, because the marriage was pending on our wants and wishes. If at any point we decide we don't want it, so now you're no longer married. So that only works by get, that won't work by Kedushin. What I want to talk about today, yeah.
The gift idea. When you're walking with your province, it's in your 4 hours.
Right.
You don't pick it up, you keep walking, it becomes yours.
So that's a shayla in the Gemara. What happens if I don't want it? What happens if I have no das to be kainah? They're going to give it to me against my will. Doesn't seem to make too much sense. The whole idea was so people shouldn't fight. If I don't want it, right, it's something that's a bigger headache than good, so then probably they're not going to give it to me.
Something else that I do want, but I'm not picking it up, but it was in my forearm.
So yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes,
you
yes.
Walk by and it stays there and
yeah, it would be yours, and then you'd lose it. That's the strange thing. That's why the Tzoyis didn't like this idea. The Tzoyis found this very hard to believe that your four amas becomes your rishus, and then a minute later it's not your rishus. Like, it's a funny thing. Your backyard stays your backyard until you do something to change it. Here you're telling me I can just be walking and constantly rishusim are changing. It's a very hard thing to believe. That's why the Tzoyis didn't like this. I want to talk today about a mahalach and some rishainim that are totally different than what we talked about last week. Till last week we were under the assumption that the way it's going to work for Dalai Lama is going to be somewhat similar that it works by a Metziah as it works by a Get. What we're going to discuss today is a whole new thought in Mishainim, is that Ein Achanami. When it comes to regular Dalai Lama by a Metziah or by a Hefka, that works with the Rabbanan. That's a rabbinic ordained procedure. When it comes to a Get, now Dalai Lama magically becomes a Kenyan Deraisa, which seems to be really hard to believe. Because if the whole basis of Dalai Lama is a Kenyan Rabbanan, how does it magically change to become a Kenyan Deraisa because the issue is a Get? So that's what we need to see a little bit to figure out how this makes any form of sense. So if we look over here, there's an unbelievable Taisirid in Bar Metziah Daf Yud. The main sugya that discusses Dalai Lama with at least regard to Hefker and Metziah is the Gemara Bar Metziah Daf Yud, which we quoted and been through before, which Bli Neder will be through, go through it again today. But there's a Taisirid over there. The Taisirid over there is discussing the whole back and forth of when Dalai Lama works, when Dalai Lama doesn't work. And he writes like this. That's what the Gemara says over here. B'metziah tiknu le'rabbana keichda lein tzila etzuyeh. Rabbana wa mesakin dal ramas by metziah so people shouldn't fight. Ha'lav hachi. Without that takanas chazal, la'hayukainis. There would be no such thing called dal ramas. Says the Taisis Rid, v'davka b'simta. And when did they institute it? They only instituted it by a simta. What's a simta? That's like on the side of Rosh Hashanah. Not mamish down, you know, Peninsula Boulevard, middle of the lane. A little bit off the beaten path. Avaloi Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so two chidushim the Taisvid is telling us. The first of all, it's Takanas Chazal, and secondly, it wasn't Bishas Rabin proper. Fine. Says the Taisvid, V'loi domi li'isha. And it's not similar to a get. The isha kabbalah hi biyoda mesinai da ba'arba amos kainis. Says the Taisvid, we have a kabbalah from halach l'moshe mesinai. And whenever else you don't know what to do, you pull that card, halach l'moshe mesinai. It's halach l'moshe mesinai that dalan amos works to be kaina again on a deraisa level. Very strange, right? Very strange thing. The Gemara by us tells us Dalai Lama works, never seems to tell us why or give a reason. So we assumed, and like Rashi told us in Gittin, when we learned this Gemara in Gittin, that Dalai Lama works by Get, Rashi said, Kimoy Sha'amar and Daf Yud and Bab Metziah. That's not like this taste of it. It's not Kimoy Sha'amar over there, it's a whole different sugya. Dalai Lama over here is a special Aloch L'Moshe Mesinai that says two chidushim. Chiddush number one is that there's a concept called Dalai Lama on a deraisa level, and chiddush number two is that it even works in Mishas Rab. That's a big chiddush that we spoke about already before.
Is that what it's not clear from.
It definitely is a
both points.
Yeah, I think and I believe that both points are chiddushim in the Taisirid. That not only does it work, period, it works even in Rosh Hashanah, which by Metziah it doesn't work that way. Chazal didn't want to give you Rishus in Rosh Hashanah, but they did give it when it comes to Get. Now, this clearly.
The question, why not? If they're going to pattern it, they're going to pattern it after
the Indo Raisa. So I'm not so sure if that's what they did. I don't know if they patterned Metziah after Get. I wonder if Get was the oddball.
They patterned after
the Svar of Asila and Suye. They worked strictly with Svaras, and they said, okay, this makes sense, it doesn't make sense.
But the Mishnah put them all together, no?
The Mishnah put Choyv, Get, and Kedushin together. Well, Choyv is not exactly Metziah either. Choyv is no Asila and Suye. We can't fight over a Choyv, because what's there to fight about? I think it's my money. It's either the Malva or the Leif's money.
Okay, so Choyv, Get, and Metziah.
Well, Metziah,
Kedushin. According to him, Get is completely different.
So that we're going to have to say. So you're going to have to say Kedushin in some form of a Hekesh. Makesh Avad Yitziah. Choyv we'll have to talk about. We're going to have to get to Choyv when we get to the Gemara. Okay. So this is a bombshell of a Chiddush from the Taisirid. No rhyme or reason, no source, but some din. There's Halacha Moshe Mesinai that says that by Get it works Deraisa. Again, this clearly does not work with Rashi on our Mishnah. When we learned Rashi in the Gemara by us in Gittin, and Rashi introduced us to our whole sugya of Dalai Lama, Rashi said, like it works in Bar Metziah. Like it works in Bar Metziah. Bar Metziah is not the same sugya. Bar Metziah was a Derabbana Takana. This is a Deraisa. You're comparing apples and oranges. So it seems, okay, not a kasha. He's the only one that I saw it in. We might be able to shed some light on what it means. It might not be such a bomb chiddush. It might be alumnus to it as well. But these are the words of the Taisirid. The Taisirid is saying that there was a Kabbalah that apparently none of the Rishonim had. To my knowledge, he's the only Rishon who drops this on us. All Rishonim we said last week clearly don't go like that. Rashi's not going like that. And we'll see more Rishonim today don't go like that. But the Tesvin had some Kabbalah. I'm not sure where, what, or how. He had a Kabbalah that it was Halacha Moshe Messina. I don't know.
He was separated from
mostly. Yeah, I don't know where he got it. I don't know where he gets it from. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I don't know. I don't know where the Tesvin gets it from. But it can Zayin, it might be Pshan, the Tesvin might not be so far-fetched. Lamashal is a famous Balamor. There's a Balamor, there's two famous Balamors. One Balamor is about Chalant on Shabbos. That's a famous Balamor. Right? The Balamor holds, you have to have something hot on Shabbos day. Why? Why do you have to have something hot on Shabbos day, says the Balamor? Because it used to be those people only believed in Torah Shabbat. They felt that when it says in Torah, Leisivar Eish, means they're not allowed to have a fire going on Shabbos. We know Leisivar Eish means you're not allowed to kindle a fire, you're not allowed to turn it on. But if you turn the fire on Friday and let it go all day, it's no problem. So the Balamor, these people used to say, no, Torah Shabbat Ksav, literally. Leisivar Eish means no fires can be going. So they obviously didn't have anything hot on Shabbos. So the Balamor writes, if you come to someone's house and they have nothing hot on Shabbos, you have to be worried, they're from the Karaim. They don't learn Torah Shabbat, they only learn Torah Shabbat. Up. They don't tell you Shabbos. You have to worry about the yichus. I used to joke with my wife when I first got married. My in-laws didn't have challah on Shabbos day. So I told my wife, I love karayim. I don't know over here. So they talk I have soup Shabbos day. So it's not so bad. But if you're not, what? Yankees. Not yakis. What? Yakis don't have challah.
No beans.
They serve something hot. They serve something hot. Right. They serve something hot. If you have nothing hot, if Shabbos morning is all, everything is cold. So the Balamor felt that was a shiloh karayim. That's a famous Balamor that is quoted. Okay. But the Balamor over here, Misach Shabbos, also has a very big chiddush. He's discussing the idea of being moitzi dal amos b'shus rabim. We know there's a prohibition of carrying four amos in a b'shus rabim. There's being moitzi b'shus l'b'shus. I'm not allowed to take from b'shus yochin and go to b'shus rabim. That's an av malacha v'itzah. And then there's being moitzi in b'shus rabim dal amos. So the Balamor writes like this. I think this is the Balamor is in beginning of Perek HaZayrik, the 11th Perek of Shabbos. He writes like this. The Gemara makes a comment, Kol arba amos b'shus rabim gemir gemirula. This prohibition of walking dal amos b'shus rabim, it's a gemir gemirula that usually means some form of halacha moshe m'sinai. Says the Balamor, the Ku'ulu told us the moitzi b'shus rabim. Then you should know, when a person walks four amos in b'shus rabim, the isra he's really doing is being moitzi from one b'shus to another b'shus. So what are you talking about? One rishus, it's one big rishus. It's one big rishus rabbim. A guy walks down a rishus rabbim, four amos. He's not being mighty from one rishus to another rishus. He's being mighty four amos in the same rishus. Says the Balamor, no. The fisha arba amos shal odom b'chol mokim koinisloi. Remember, we're talking about on a derais level. We're not talking about a derabonon. We're talking about on a derais level. The Torah views the four amos of a person around him, koinit to him, uki rishus edamyin. And it's like his own domain. So if I move four amos, if I move something four amos, every new four amos is a new domain. It's from one domain to another domain. And if let's say I'm standing over here in my dalamas and I throw a ball four amos into another rishus, that's a form of being moitzi mirishus to rishus. Out of my rishus to someone else's rishus. It's all in rishus rabim. The answer is yes, in the rishus rabim, we break down individual rishusim into dalamas. Therefore, kemoitzi mirishus ayachid rishus rabim dami. So if you accept this Balamor, so this really opens us up to believe that there is something real about Dalai Lama. This again, this is on a derisa level. This is to be chayav on Shabbos. It's not derabanan. Yeah?
One, has to learn being amorous until the Shabbos.
Not learning
and even within the Shabbos,
yes.
It still has a malacha geruah.
That's correct. That's correct. But again, the truth is, the Gemara says, hilchos ha-gemir gemarla. The Gemara says, we have halacha.
No,
but he's working backwards. So forget the way the Balamor sets it up, he worked backwards. He said the reason why I think it's also to go to Dalam Shazram is because I find in other areas he wasn't going that Shabbos is the Makar. He was going actually backwards. So the question is, who told him the first
Mechdesa?
Right, but how did you know the first step? Who told you Dalam Shazram Kayan? So that's only the Rabbanan. No, let's say for example, let's say you're standing four Amos away and I'm standing and I throw the ball to you.
Let's say I'm carrying something, I can go four Amos. But then I got another four amas. I'm four amas.
The four amas keep changing.
So I'm never really carrying it. I'm never really changing.
You never leave your original rishus.
Okay. That's already a shayin, a Shabbos shayla. What I want from this Balamor is that you see from Balamor, again, putting aside all the alumnuses, is that he's willing to accept the notion that the fact that Dalar Amish Adam Bechom Mokim Koinis Loi on the Daraisa level. What do you mean Daraisa level? The whole thing is Darabonin. What are you talking about? So this Balamor sounds like that the concept is real. What is the concept? The concept that if I'm in my four Amis extend to be considered my Rishos. Now, if that's the pshat, so now maybe we can go back to the Tesvid. When the Tesvid dropped this bombshell on us, that's Halacha Moshe B'Sina. It's not the pshat, that it's just the strange thing. It makes somewhat sense. If you look in the Sefer over number 3, the Sefer called Mereshes Moshe, he wants to tell you that based on this Balamor, the Tesvid is not such a bomb chiddush anymore. Why? That's where things get very complicated over here. To say that there were two things going on. There was a takana specifically for Kenyan, and then there was something tailor-made where we'll say maybe it was only for get, that it works on a deraisa level. Now you ask me, so if it works there, why doesn't it work here? So let's see what he says over here, number 3. He writes, Le Hamizboyer, Gambishus Rabbim Nechshav Madalaramislim Kaimirishus Shaladim. You see from the Balamor that Dalaramis of a person is a real legitimate extension of his Rishus. The Rak Einam Yuchadim Loi. What's the problem? Why don't we normally have Dalar Amos without Takanas Chazal? It's because your Dalar Amos is my Dalar Amos. We all share. Like the Dvar Ram told us last week. Dalar Amos is yours, but it's yours and everyone else's also. Everyone has equal rights. So if we all have rights, none of us have rights. So says the Mereshes Moshe, V'kiblu Mesinai, D'ledin get Sagi L'aniach B'Rishusa Shal Isho, V'ein Tzarech Shetei HaRishus K'nui Eloi Amiuchedus La. That's a chiddush. He wants to suggest that maybe the chiddush in the Taisa Rid is Halacha Mishim Sina teaches me that although she has absolutely no Kenyan rights in Mishas Rabbim, because it's yours, mine, and ours, it's everyone's, but it's enough to say that when I put the get in here, this is a Rishos. This is a starker right to the Tzais. If it's about Kenyan, this doesn't fit. Because we're suggesting now that Dalar Amis is a Svara to be an extension of your Rishos. Although you will not have Kenyan rights to it. You won't have Kenyan rights because it's yours and his and everyone else around you, like the Dvar Ram pointed out. But the mere fact, says the Tzais Rid, that we can call this your area, although halachically, you have no power in it. And this is something we spoke about many times with Chaim and others. That's something that could be called your Rishos, even though you don't have the power of Kenyan. So he wants to just, maybe that's Halacha Moshe B'Sina, the Tesrit. Halacha Moshe B'Sina is, this is enough to be called Rishosai. I put in her Rishos. She has no power of Kenyan here. That's okay. But because Dalar Amos is by definition an extension of your Rishos. Haraya the Balamor by Shabbos. That's enough to say I put the get in her Rishos. Okay? If you accept this Tesrit, it would come out that this would be a get Dairaisa, although she has absolutely no rights or ownership of the get. How does that work? So that we already saw in Tzais. The Tzais already told us that there's a concept of gittin that's all about Nesina and without a Maisikin. So this Tzais Rid might be another raya to that famous Yisrael of the Tzais, and we'll see in a second, or maybe a few seconds, that this is Tzais Rid Lushitasoi in Mesech's gittin. This Tzais Rid is in Bom Metzio, we'll see a Tzais Rid Lushitasoi in Mesech's gittin in a few minutes. Now there's another Mechudish Dikashita in the Sugi, which is the Meiri. If you ever want to find the Mechudish Dikashita, always look at the Meiri. He always has the off the beaten path, like no other Rishayna Mahalach has always found the Meiri. So the Me'iri over here has another very big chiddush on the sugya. The Me'iri starts off, this is the Me'iri in Bab Metzia. He writes in number 4. Arba Amish Olam Zoychus Loy. A person has Dalar Amos. So it's a Loymer. Shem HaYushom Metzia Aynichse Hefker. If a person has Metzia Nichse Hefker, Meshibolo Yitchum Arba Amish Olam Yisem Metzia. When he comes into the area of that Metzia, Zocha. Now you sound like from the Me'iri that the Metzia is there before him, which is a big machloikis b'shoinim. How does Dalar Amos work? Is the Pshat Dalar Amos that I'm standing with Shesarabim, and then the object comes into my domain? What happens if it's the other way around? The object is standing, and I come into the domain of the object. So we'll see, it's a big machloikis b'shoinim to whether or not it works or not. And we'll see later, it should be very much totally in how we set up the machloikis and how Dalar Amos works. But here the Me'iri seems to be pretty clear, it doesn't matter. He writes, even if the guy never says, I want to get it. He doesn't say, I want to buy it. He says, Miri, he's still kind it. Now, he doesn't say what happens if he explicitly doesn't want it, but at least the Miri here says, even if you don't say explicitly that you want it. So he writes, this was clearly made up by the rabbis. He says, what are you going to tell me? How can you tell me it's only the Rabban? If it works by get, it has to be the Reis. Vani Oimer says Mimi, but I personally hold no. Sheget Einay Elamin HaTorah. Dalar Amos by Get is a Get Deraisa. Not like what we saw last week. Acha She'ein Kan Ma'arer. Because there's no one disputing it. There's no one to fight about. Harehu Ki Yoda. It's like her hand. Avo Bedover She'esh by Ma'arerim. But on an issue where people are fighting over. Acherim. Then Hutzruchu LeTekanas Chacham. So what's the Me'iri saying? The Me'iri is saying, when did Chazal have to get involved? That was by something where there's a dispute, like a Metzia. I say it's mine, you say it's yours, and we're fighting, so Chazal said, let's make Dalar Amos. Says the Me'iri, when it comes to something where there's nothing to dispute over, again, what's the fight over the get? The husband gave the get to this one lady, he didn't give it to her friend. It's tailor-made for this lady, there's no Ma'ara, there's no fight, so then Dalar Amos works automatically. Where, what, when, how? Where did Dalar Amos come from? You see from the Me'iri another Chiddush. The Me'iri is willing to accept the fact that get is Dairaisa, similar to the Tesirid. That get by the get Dalar Amos is Dairaisa, by an object because there were fights. That's why we needed Chazal to get involved. But when there's no fights, who needs Chazal? The Alam is kainus on its own. Right. So that's what we spoke about the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer suggested that the reason why Dal HaRamas doesn't work by Gerushin, and that's why the Mishraim gave other reasons, because she can always opt out. This Takana's Dal HaRamas was for her benefit. She could say, Yevshi, I don't want it. I don't want the get.
If she's saying it works automatically min a Torah for get, that means that somehow the Dal HaRamas is a Torah.
I taste the rid.
Why would I need a Takana?
Okay, so let's see.
Yeah,
that's what I want to get to.
Sounds like saying, but get is the Raisa. When the Raisa tells me, that's considered
the other. Okay, good. That mamas the lamas. Okay. So this Miri is very vague, very unclear how to understand this Miri. So there's a Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua has, again, another big chiddush in the Sugya, and the Pnei Yeshua writes the following, number 5. He writes, V'krakasavdi b'reish pirkin, I read it from the beginning of the perek, di lavdi mistafini. Whenever Achrayim write Lav Demistafinim, he's about to drop a huge bomb on us that's connected all the Rishayim. But because they wrote Lulid Demistafinim, it's okay. That's just the rule. So says the Rishayim, I'm going to drop a huge bomb on everyone, and it's against everyone, but I'm going to do it anyways. Well, I would say the Kulu Maslisa Medin Tayru. I'd learn the whole Mishnah is all Midaraisa. The Kivu the Darshin of Anasan, the Gemara told us in the beginning of Azarik, it says in Tayru, give the get. The Gemara made a Joshua of Anasan, Bechomachim. You can give it pretty much anywhere. Ribayhu Ma'abin and Kol Mili. You can put the get anywhere. Even in an area that she does not own. So what? Well, what happened to biyada? How do you read the next line of the pasuk? But nasan biyada. It's got to be in her hand. Says the Pnei Yeshua, el de beinin she dumya diyada. It has to be like a hand. She mishtamel adaita, that she controls it. Af kol makim she medes merachik. Let's say the get is far away from her. V'yichayla lishmar, but she can guide. She can protect it. If someone's about to grab it, she'll come faster and beat the guy to it. But it's not in her hands, it's not in her rishus. Says the Pnei Yeshua, Havishapi Dumi di Yodo. That would be enough to be called in her hand, and that would constitute a nesina. So why did the Gemara have to make drushas to include her backyard? It could be anywhere. That's Hainu Afilhu Yocha Gamke Nishma. If you put it in her backyard, even if he could also guard the get still chal. But if I put the get in the middle of the street, where only she can guard it and not the husband, that's enough to be called a venasa. Now, what is this Pnei Yeshua changing in the whole sugya and everything we learned for the last, I don't know, year and a half? Is that you don't need to make a kinyan on the get. You don't need a kinyan on the get. You don't need to own the get. You don't even need to put the get into a possession that's yours. You need to put the get in a situation where she's in control of the get. She's the bailim. She's the mishtamer. She doesn't own anything. Dalet Amos, you have no power. You don't own anything. Not like what we said yesterday, last week in the Dvar Rum. You really own it, but everyone else owns it. You own nothing. You have no power. What power do you have? You can control the get. You're standing close enough to the get that if a door comes to grab it, you can grab it away. Or if a guy comes to steal it, you can steal it first. But you have no real bailus, halachic bailus on this get. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's okay. V'nosan includes that that's a sufficient nice in this scene. This is really what we all keep on calling the Ktsoisis chat. That when the Torah says v'nosan, it doesn't really care about owning the get. It cares about giving, how to give and where to give. Ownership, we don't care. Because clearly the Pnei Yeshua...
He's saying it even a step further than the Ktsoisis
treatment. Right, the Ktsoisis we said, when we learned the Ktsoisis...
The concept of what is a proper place...
Right, when we learned the Ktsoisis, we said he needs an asina to a makam where you could be kaine, or a makam that could be called Yerushas. He's going even further than that. He's saying it's an asina to anywhere where the lady is in control of the get, even if she has no halachic power. This is a big chiddush in the Pnei Yeshua. That's what I didn't want to get into. This presents the whole issue of how's that going to work with Tlegidich Megabikak. Yeah, we'll see in a minute because it's going to come up again in a Ktsais. But this Pnei Yeshua also explains Dalet Amos. We had the Kasha. How does Dalet Amos work? The answer is not a Kasha. It's not because Dalet Amos is a Kinyan Rabbanon. It's because Dalet Amos is you have control. You're a Mishtamer. You control. If you control, then it works. So according to this, it's not Dalet Amos. It's not working with the Gemara. What? There's no Nivet Amos. We'll see, hopefully in a few weeks, there's a sheet in the Gemara called Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan knows if you throw the get in her within 100 Amos of her. 100 Amos, there's no Kinyan anywhere in the world called 100 Amos. So what did Rabbi Yochanan make up? So the Pnei Yeshua is saying this idea. 100 Amos, Rabbi Yochanan felt is enough to say, I can control something within my 100 Amos, which is a pretty big area. But that's enough to say, I can control. It's about control.
Why wouldn't Dalet Amos, we've said all along that Dalet Amos only works in the Rishus Rabbah. Someone else is Rishus say, Yochanan, it can't work.
And a chanamim. According to this,
if I could control it, that would
only be forget. It won't help for a mitzvah.
And
a chanamim. According to this Pnei Yeshua, in theory, if you have the control and the power, as strange as it sounds, the chayav should work. Okay. Now the question is: does this Pnei Yeshua help us shed light on the Meiri? So Rav Gusman in Kuntres Eshurim, And every time you quote Rav Gusman, you have to say at least a couple stories about Rav Gusman. They just came out with this new book about Rav Gusman. It's unbelievable. I read it twice, maybe three times already. I get such a geschmack out of the book. So I decided I'm going to only say two stories about Rav Gusman. We can spend the whole shit saying stories about Rav Gusman. Two stories about Rav Gusman I think is worth mentioning. When Rav Gusman first came to Grodno Yeshiva, he learned to Grodno Yeshiva, so he was a bacher, he was young. And at that time, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was saying the younger, was saying the shir. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was 20 years old, he wasn't married yet, and he was saying the shir in Grodno Yeshiva. So everyone wanted to talk with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He was the superstar. So Rav Gusman wanted to talk with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had a policy. He doesn't know with any bachim. He has no time. So he told Rav Gusman, I'll make an exception, but we'll learn at 1 a.m. Rav Gusman said, I'm sorry, I have a chavrusa from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. Okay. So what they did was, they said, fine. So we'll learn at something like, I think what happened was Rav Gusman finished learning with his chavrusa at 1 or 2. He went to sleep for about a half an hour now, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would wake him up, and they learned straight through the night, and they'd daven shachrus and start the whole day again. So Rav Gusman slept maybe an hour. He would learn b'chavrus with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and they said that they went through Zroim. So they said, Zroim is very hard. He said the first six times they went through Zroim, they didn't understand anything. The seventh time, everything made sense. This is 3, 4 o'clock in the morning after a whole day of learning. They went through Zroim at night. Okay, Rav Gusman said about himself that when he was 16, he knew Bavli and Yerushalmi by heart. By 16, he knew Bavli and Yerushalmi by heart. And then when he started learning Dayonis, that's when he memorized Shulchan Aruch by heart. Because in order to be on Rav Chaim Moshe's Bezdin in Vilna, Rav Chaim Moshe took him on his Bezdin because Rav Gusman's father-in-law was the Dayan. So he yarshed the position. But he told Rav Chaim Moshe, he said, I don't know anything about Dayonis. I'm a yeshiva bach. I just learned Lomdus all day. I can tell you all the chakiras, but I can't tell you. So he says, but you know how to learn Gemara. Yeah, I can learn Gemara. He says, see all those books over there? He showed him, he pointed to the Torah Beis Yosef. He said, take on each one, go through all the Beis Yosef and all the Bach, go through everything, and I'll guide you on how to learn Pesach Halacha. But first, memorize all of that. So he sat there and he memorized all of Shulchan Aruch, all of Beis Yosef and Torah, and he became on Rav Chaim Moshe's Bezdin. He was the youngest dying in Vilna ever. He said that there was once a Knessia in Europe, and he was already on Rav Chaim Moshe's Bezdin, so he came late to the Knessia. Chavetz Chaim was there, Rav Chaim Moshe was there. So he walks and Rav Chaim Moshe stood up. So Rav Chaim Moshe stood up, Chavetz Chaim stood up. Rav Chaim Moshe said, the Chavetz Chaim is standing up for him, Rav Chaim Moshe is standing up for him. He said later on in life, no cover that you can throw at me will be anything to what I experienced in Vilna when the Chavetz Chaim stands up for you and Rav Chaim Moshe stands up for you. Rav Gusman was on a different playing field. He said he slept very, very little. He slept very, very little, and he suffered terrible through the Holocaust. His wife didn't do so well after the Holocaust. She had a very, very difficult life. She was a bitter lady. And Rav Gusman said, do you blame her? He said, I'd be just like her if not for the fact that I have Torah to make me happy. He said, if not for the fact that I have a Rashba to make me happy, I'd probably be just like her. After all they suffered and all they saw, any normal person would be depressed. He says, but I have Torah to be misamech me, and therefore I was able to pull it together, so to say. But Rav Gusman he used to learn the Mamash. He said he could not never slept. He said those years he basically never slept, and that's why he became the great Dayan. It's funny, we don't know him as a Dayan. We know him as a Rosh Hashiva. His Shurim that we have today, his Kuntres Shurim, we don't view him as a Dayan, as a Paisik, but he was an unbelievable Paisik. He was passing Shayas of Vilna. They were sending Shayas to Rav Chaim Moshe, and Rav Chaim Moshe was writing them back Rav Gusman's address. Instead of sending it to Rav Chaim Moshe, they send it straight to Rav Gusman. I don't want to see it. So Rav Gusman said, I can't handle it. He said, you're dying. This is your job. You got to paskin shilas. He was young, 21, 22 years old. He was paskining major aguna shilas for the entire world in Vilna at that time. But he was a special yid. That was one story. The other story, which is even more powerful, I think, was in 1982. Rav Gusman already moved to Eretz Yisrael. He opened up a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, the shurim, and he used to say his shir once a week to the Baal Batim, to the local people in the town. And he had a professor, Elman, that used to come to his shir. In 1982, this professor lost his... That's right. That's correct. He lost his son in 1982. And Rav Gusman was with him the whole time, from Kavura to the beginning of Shiva. And he told the professor told Rav Gusman, he said, listen, I appreciate you being with me, but you got to get back to work. You got a yeshiva to run. He said, no. He said, you have to understand. He said, my son, he had a son, Meir, who was his precious son. He had two kids. He had a son and a daughter. His daughter survived the war. She, Baruch Hashem, she had a family. Her husband is today the Rosh Hashiva of his yeshiva, took over Rav Gusman when he died. But he had a son, Meir, who didn't make it through the war. And this took a very big toll on his life. So he told him, he said, listen, I had a son, Meir, who was killed by the Nazis, and he was killed in his arms. And he later on, Rav Gusman had to take his shoes, his dead son's shoes, to sell to have food for the family. Rav Gusman said he couldn't eat the food. He couldn't stomach it. He gave it away to other people. He said, I had a son, Meir, who died because he was Jewish. He was killed by Nazis. He was a Kaddish. And he's in a very special place in Shemayim. He said, I want you to know, your son died protecting Am Yisrael. He's Kaddish Kaddashim. It's a whole different level. He said, my son died because he was Jewish, but he didn't change the world. He said, your son's changing the world. He's protecting Am Yisrael. He's Kaddish Kaddashim. He's a higher level. He said, I never had a chance to sit Shiva for my son. please let me sit Shiva with you a little bit so I can sit Shiva for my son. He sat there a few minutes, and the professor told him, he said, I didn't think I'd be able to be Menachem. I thought no matter what anyone would say to me, it would never get me to be able to deal with the tragedy. He said, you were able to comfort me. And he said, thank you. And then Rav Gussman went back. So the great Eloy in Big Masmid, he understood how to connect to people. He was an unbelievable yid. Many people learned by him in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't there so long ago. Many people had a chance to go to his yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He had yeshiva in New York for a little bit. Then he decided, no one knows why. He just decided one day he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. And he was offered terrific positions. He was offered to be Rosh Yeshiva of Tar Vadas. He was offered to be Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. He was offered to be Rosh Yeshiva in many, many places. He turned them all down. His wife said, why? You want to be a fundraiser? Why do you want to collect for your own yeshiva? He wanted his own yeshiva. Rav Gussman was a special yid. Netzach Yisrael. Rav Gussman had a very big heart. Rav Gussman was a very special yid. His yeshiva today is a Netzach Yisrael. Yeah, son-in-law took over. I don't know what's going on there now. Who knows? Okay, so Zok Rav Gussman back to his... Yeah. The way the story goes, that Reb Chaim Moser used to teach him in the late 30s. Reb Chaim Moser would show him all the bushes. This bush is dangerous. This bush, Reb Chaim Moser. So he once asked Reb Gussman, asked Reb Chaim Moser, what are you telling me this? He says, trust me, you might need to know this one day. And Kachavi, years later, that's how he survived the Holocaust. And the way the story goes, a different version of the story. The way one version goes is when Reb Gussman moved to Eretz Yisrael, he had a beautiful garden. In front of his house, he had a beautiful garden. And he used to water the garden all the time. So he said, why are you watering the garden? So he'd say, because I have such a karsa toif for the vegetation, the things that grow, because it saved me in the Holocaust. So he used to spend a lot of time and effort watering his garden, taking care of his garden. The other pshat was because it was like, for his wife, it was a big outlet for her. She enjoyed it. So he took pride in it because for his wife, it meant something, so he would do it himself. He was very machmir. He always watered his garden, his little garden in Eretz Yisrael. That was his thing. So they say because he did it al karsa toif for all the grass and trees that he survived during the Holocaust. But Reb Gussman wrote his Kuntres Yeshurim. If you go through one shir, I once asked the Talmud of his, I said, there's no way he said this in one shir. They're massive. They're pages and pages. So he told me, no, it's just a bunch of shirim put together. But this is really the end of one of his simonim in Baba Metzia. He discusses the Me'iri we just quoted. He says, what's pshat on this Me'iri? The Me'iri says that really Dalai Lama is their raisa. When there's no fights. When there's fights, Chazal get, what's this all about? So says Gussman, number 6, he writes, V'nira desova keshitas ha'pnei Yeshua na'al b'shem Rashi. He says, really, the Me'iri is a right to this Pnei Yeshua, that when it comes to get, you don't really need a kinyan. All you really need is an asino. Aye, so if that's the point, so why does the Me'iri start talking about this ma'arer? Yes, people fighting, no people fighting. U'mashikosav, the toli b'ma'arer, when the Me'iri writes this toli, whether or not people are fighting, kavanosi to get le'sheich v'shem adam bo'ilam. There's no one else that has any connection to the get. Says Rav Gussman, the Me'iri is trying to tell you, why do you think Gittin is different than all other kinyanim in the world? Why is it if I want to sell you something, then it's not just enough to put it in your backyard. It has to be your kainit. Why by get don't you have to be kainit to get? He says, because get, it's by definition a different transaction. Because normally if I'm giving you something, someone else could get it. So the way it becomes yours is through a ma'isa kinyan. But says Rav Gussman, when it comes to something like that, it's not for anyone else. It's right, it's earmarked for her. So therefore, there's no reason for why Chazal would require a kinyan. It's sufficient just for an asina. And Dalai Lama is enough to say it's a ma'isa asina. There's one problem with this pshat, which I taka found in number 7. I found the Sefer Moreshes Moshe points this out, that this doesn't seem to work with the Me'iri. Rav Gussman's understanding of the Me'iri is that really the Me'iri is what we'll call the Pnei Yeshua's pshat. That forget, you don't need a ma'isa kinyan, you just need an asina. And what constitutes an asina? An asina l'rishusa is enough if she can be mishtamrit. But if you look over here, number 7, he points out a good R, the Sefer Moreshes Moshe. He writes, Ulam yesh l'daktik mahadakasim Me'iri shebedavishesh ma'arun acheim hutzvich l'dekonos l'cham. If you look at the Me'iri sounds like if it's something where people can fight, then a Chazal had to get involved. He says, one second, Mevor comes out, Da'af b'mitziya, im lo yehoyu ma'arim, hoyu kainu b'dal ha'amis b'derais. The Pashup Shad of the Me'iri sounds like, if there's no fighting, no one's arguing, everyone's agreeing, so then we didn't need to get Chazal involved. When do Chazal have to step in? When there's an issue for dispute? So fract him, he says, I don't understand. According to the way of Gussman learned to Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua's point was that get is specific because it doesn't need a ma'isa kinyan. Mitziah definitely needs a ma'isa kinyan. No one's denying that. If I want to be kind of Mitziah, I need to make a ma'isa kinyan. But the Me'iri sounds like if there'd be no one fighting over Mitziah, you'd be able to go back to Dalai Lama's. But the way of Gussman learned Dalai Lama's to the Bnei Yeshua is because you don't need a kinyan. So it's not going to work.
No, what the Me'iri means is that Dalai Lama's is never a kinyan. But by get, even on the Raisa level, you don't require a kinyan. So
right.
Chazal didn't have to step in. But in case of Mitziah, where the potential exists for a fight, not that there is a fight, then Chazal had to step in. and be machmeh it to the person.
Right, so that's the way he basically says over. He answers that number eight. This sefer Mereshis Moshe, she speaks it out. He says v'yesh lefarish the kibushah dalanamis nechsheves lemkay moish al adam, because dalanamis is your rishus based on the balamor, based on the meiri. That's why your dalamis works. Since other people also have a schus, so then we have to figure out who wins to what. Mashenki by get, where there's no opposition, so things go back to the way they normally were. He wants to learn that things go back to the way they normally were, like the Dvar Avram. Things go back to the way they were, and you have your own dalamis back. So he wants to learn the Tesirid slightly different. He wants to learn the Tesirid that everyone has dalamis. Not because everyone has dalaramas, even in the Kenyan world. What stops me from being Kain is you also have dalaramas. So if I can block you out, so like the Devar Ram said last week, then it's all me. So says the Meiri, so because there's no Ma'aririm, that's a fancy way of saying there's no opposition. If there's no opposition, then this area is completely mine. If this area is completely mine, then I'm Kaina even under the Raisa
level. You have the same
dalaramas. I mean, if someone's in my dalaramas, so we're going to talk about that in the Gemara, about the conflicting dalaramas. Right, so we're, right. The question is if they still fought about who has the dalamas. Right, so we mentioned, I think, at least limited some of the fights. Right, so we're going to talk about, that's the thing we need to talk about. What happens when there's a machloikis, whose dalaramas is where? What type of suffix is that? That's a big sugya, which Blinada we're going to get to. So if we stop right here, the way the sugya presents is we have two major mahalchim. Either that get is vaita de rabbanon with all the quirks, or this me'iri taisirid that attacker works with the rice. One last source is a Taisirid in Gittin. And it might be l'shitasoi to the Taisirid in Bamitzia. The Taisirid in Gittin writes like this. Pirish, kinyan aged ain't a daim of the shar kinyan and the alma. Buying a get or acquiring a get is not like acquiring anything else in the world. Why? The kinyan da alma ain't adem yochel haknis the chaveir bal korcha. You can't give someone a gift and he owns it if he doesn't want to. V'haget adem makneil ishto bal korcha. So everyone says this is the tzais. It's a Taisirid. Because the Taisirid is such small print, everyone's easier to read the Ktzais. But the Taisirid was the first one to introduce this idea to us. We keep on saying the Ktzais has two rayas that get is not a kinyan, and one of his rayas are because of Bal Korcha. It's a Taisirid. The Taisirid says explicitly that get is clearly a different type of acquisition than is a regular mitzia or a matana. Why? Because nowhere else can I give you a gift and you have to own it against your will. That doesn't exist. Nowhere else does such a thing exist in the world that I give you a gift and you have to take it. And it's yours no matter what. What do you mean? If I want it, I get it. If not, not. Here the chiddush is that you're stuck with it. Says the Taisirid, what's the pshat? Im kain, tam ha-chotzet de-rabi le-rachmona le-ba-avur kinyinu. So when the Torah included chotzet, it's not because it's kainer. Ela she-rehi atzuva ba, ve-ne-chotzet le-knoisei. She's depressed and she doesn't want it. Ve-chatzei rekon lo miskereshet, and still chotzet works. Ela, tam ha-dover hu b'mneish mishtama le-daitoi. Because she's controlling it, she's protecting it. Sounds very much like the Pnei Yeshua. Taisirid is using the Pnei Yeshua, stole away from the Taisirid. Im kain, b'chol mokim shu mishtama ledato, he migureshes. Any place where she's in control, she's divorced. Masha enki b'shar kinyanim da'almo, as opposed to other kinyanim in the other places in the world.
She's certainly not going to want to control it. She doesn't want it.
Right.
What do you mean she's controlling?
No, that's the definition.
That she's capable of
taking. That's right. Capable. So according to this Taisirid, this is mamish what we said to Pnei Yeshua, and this is mamish the way we learned the Taisirid in Bar Mitzvah. It's clear. The Taisirid is suggesting that get is not about kinyan, and his raya is not about kinyan because you can't be carrying things about karcha. So what is it about? It's about nesina. What defines a nesina, says the Taisirid? The definition of a nesina is something that I can watch. This is mamish what the Pnei Yeshua called his own pshat. I know he could have backed it up with a Taisirid. He probably didn't have a Taisirid. Right? But says this Taisirid, and this now, let's go back to the Taisirid in Bar Mitzvah. This might be possibly l'shitasai. When he says that there's a halacha l'moshe mesinai, that halacha l'moshe mesinai might be this chiddush that for all you need to forget is a ma'aser nesina, and this is a sufficient ma'aser nesina l'mishusa. So im kain, according to these rishonim, and that's probably pshat in the Me'iri as well. According to what we'll call the Taisirid and Me'iri thought process, dal ramas is maybe not really kainay sloy in a kinyan sense, but you don't need kinyan forget. All you need forget is a nesina l'mishusa, and this is enough to be called rishusai, which is really the way the Dvar of Rum learned it. Similarly, that the Kavner Rav learned like this also, that this is enough, but he was going with a different alumnus. He was saying that, and you're even kind it. He's saying that you're kind of the get. Here, the Me'iri saying you're not kind of the get. But you don't need to be kind of the get. Where does it say you have to be kind of the get? This is what we call the Tzaisis version of Geirushin, really Taisirid. Now we could say it's two Taisirids and maybe even a Me'iri to make it more geshmak. That say that get is not about owning the get. It's about where you put the get. You need to make an Asina Lurusha. So what constitutes a Rusha? Sorry, something where she's Mishtan Meris.
Or is it something that
So we're going to have to talk more about next week in the Gemara, how that works. I just want to get to one more nekuda over here. Is that let's go back to, this is a whole new way of thinking. This Dalaramis is a whole new pshat in Dalaramis, nothing to do with the old-fashioned Hakir, however how Dalaramis works. So let's go back to the other ways of Rishayim, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rajba, that Dalaramis has two ways of learning. Either the pshat was they makdi you the chatzar, they give you the Dalaramis, or the pshat was they basically just say you own the object. Would there be a nafkamina in Lomdis? So there's a big machloikish b'shoinim that we mentioned before, that the Ktsois and many others bring down, the Shach brings it down. Machloikish b'shoinim, the Tamidei HaRajba and Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Does Dalar Amos work only when I'm in the Dalar Amos and the Kli comes to me? Or does it work even if, let's say, for example, I walk down the street and I see there's a Metziah sitting in the middle of the Rishis Rabbim. I walk into its Dalar Amos, so now I'm in the Dalar Amos with the Kli. Now I have Dalar Amos, or it only has to work backwards. It has to be first I'm in the Dalar Amos, I control the Dalar Amos, then the object comes into the Dalar Amos, now I have Dalar Amos Kainis. We're not talking about, we'll leave Get out for a second. So this is a big machloikis b'shoinim by Metziah and by Hefker. A machloikis b'shoinim between Rabbi Yeruchim and the Talmud and Rashi. So I would have thought that this Chakira is this machloikis b'shoinim is telling the Chakira how Dalar Amos works. If Dalar Amos is working, that Chazal made it my Chatzar, we have an old Rashi. We have a Shit Mukabetzes that says you can never have Chatzar backwards. It always has to be first it's your Chatzar and then it comes in. So if that's the way, if the Pshat and Dalar Amos is, then the Dalar Amos becomes my Chatzar, so then it follows the rules of Chatzar. If it follows the rules of Chatzar, I have to be the Chatzar before it comes in. So if the object would come into the Dalar Amos, and then I come into the Dalar Amos, it'd be no good, because for the Chatzar that wouldn't work. The other Rishayim held, that's not the Lomdus of Dalar Amos. The other Rishayim held, the Lomdus of Dalar Amos is that we're makting you the Chayfetz. So if they're makting me the Chayfetz, it shouldn't matter what the scenario is. And Attacker found the Sefer called Shmuz Gittin. He says it like that. He thinks that this Machloikis Rishayim between Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Talmud of Rashba about whether or not Dalar Amos works, depending on which comes first, is Tali Nar Chakira, how Dalar Amos works. However, if Salvechik seems to go a completely different route than this. If you look in number 12 in Shuria, Rabbi Salvechik, he goes the other way with this Machloikis Rishayim. And he writes, in number 12 in the right corner, he writes, if it's a dafka when the person comes to the Dalar Amos first, this Machloikis Rishayim, which we just mentioned. So says Rav Salavechik, Vihine, im Dalar Amos hu takarnas kinyan, he thinks if the Pshat and Dalar Amos was, it's a kinyan, which means you somehow, some way own the object, mistavar loy mishageder a kinyan hu kinisas hachevis Dalar Amos shaloy. He thinks the way it works, or the mechanics is that the way we make it yours, because it's in your Dalar Amos, it came into your Dalar Amos. Vishabi yesh tam lahatzach, koyed makon alachevis. He says, well, that's only true if you were there first. It didn't come into your Dalar Amos. You went into its Dalar Amos. If the way Chazal gave you the object was because it came into your Rishus, it has to have come into your Rishus. However, says Rav Salvechik, Avlam Mutakanas Bailis al Dalar Amos. But if, let's say, for example, they say you own the Dalar Amos, it's your Chatzur. Yeshlus Chuzba Beinim Hu Kaidim Achavit Beinim Achavit Kaidim La. I'm not sure why Rav Salvechik didn't say it the way we said it. Rav Salvechik's saying exactly the opposite. He's saying if the way it works is that they made the Dalar Amos your Chatzur, then it shouldn't matter which way goes first. Your Chatzur is your Chatzur. It's mine. Who cares? I own the area. I come first. It comes first. This is my area. If it's in my area, I'm kinda. But he says if it goes the other way, that Chazal kind of gifted you the object, he thinks the way they gifted it to you is when the object comes into your area, they gifted it to you. It didn't come into my area. I came into its area. So Salvechik is now saying the opposite of what we would have thought. And I'm not sure why he's not bothered with this nekuda of this ktsais. The ktsais that we keep on saying, that if it works as chatzar, then it should work that way. So it could be, if Salvechik felt that even if it works with chatzar, maybe it's not bound by all the nitty-gritty details of hilchas chatzar. I'm not sure why. But he says it, mamish, the exact opposite of the way we would have said this, machloikis b'shoinim. He feels that if you're going with the tzad that the chayfetz becomes yours, the lomdus is because since it came into your rishus, so it didn't come into my rishus, so I don't have it.
How does chatzar work?
That's a shayla. That's a shayla. How it works? It's not clear. That's the question of how about. But again, if you accept this shita mekubetz as a mametzia, which the tzais holds, the shach and others hold la'alocha, that chatzar only works if you're there, and then the object comes. So then, I'm not sure if salvation didn't work that into the equation. If salvation goes a step further, and he suggests that we have a machloikis rishonim of how does it work by get. So one side is it's afkinu, and one side it's nasa kechatzer. So if Salvechik says it is pashut, this machloikis rishayim is telling the lumps of how this works. Meaning, the first side works that we made the chatzer, we made the dalamas into your chatzer. The other side is that Chazal were makni you the chavis. They made a new kinyan, a kinyan chadash he calls it, where we made this object belong to you. Although there's no rhyme or reason why it really should be yours, it's not in your rishos, Chazal made it yours. Okay. So now we're ready to finally come back to our old Rashi in Bar Metzia. If you remember, when we started this whole sugi, we had a very troubling Rashi in Bar Metzia. Rashi in Bar Metzia, when it's describing Dalai Lama, Rashi said, Dalai Lama's koinis loy, im yesh sevi voice of dover hefker. If you have around you something of hefker, ein achar rashay l'toifsei, no one else can grab it. So we were ma'ayver on Rashi. That's not the point. The point is not that no one else can get it. The point is that it's mine. Why does Rashi write in the what we'll call the shalilus, in the lack of option of kinyan? Rashi should have wrote, Dalai Lama's koinis loy means it's mine and no one else can get it. So Rav Soloveitchik points out that you see from clearly from this Rashi that Rashi did not believe that Dalai Lama's works, that it becomes your backyard. Right? That's Pasha, says Rav Soloveitchik. If the lumnus of Dalai Lama's is that Chazal extended my backyard into the Dalai Lama's, then Rashi wrote the wrong words. Rashi shouldn't have wrote that no one else can get it. Rashi should have wrote, when something is in my chatzar, the pshat is that no one else can get it, that's why it's mine, or my chatzar is the reason why it's mine. So therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, that if Rashi meant that Dalai Lama's is an extension of your chatzar, he wouldn't have wrote it in the shalilus, in the passive. No one else can get it. That's not the pshat. The pshat is because it's my backyard, that's why it's mine. And because it's mine, no one else can get it. So therefore, if Soloveitchik says he believes that Rashi clearly is of the opinion that Dalai Lama's is not working with the pshat, that they made it to your chatzar, instead Dalai Lama's is working with some kinyan chadosh. Chazal decided, although this is not your domain, this is not your area, it's not an extension of your area, we will give you the object. However, Reb Shlomi Zalman Orbach in his Shurim on Maseches Bamitzia, he learns exactly the opposite in Rashi. Unbelievable. If you look at number 16, when he learns Rashi, he thinks Rashi is saying the exact opposite. He says, Nirim Midvarav, the Yisrael had din bezehu, the Asawa Bailim, Sha'achem lo yuchalika chasamitzia. He thought Rashi was reflecting the fact of your ownership. Rashi was expressing your ownership in the fact that no one else can get it. The Kimishakein, Havale Bailim al Hamokim. He thought Rashi was telling you that you really own it, it's really yours, to the extent that no one else can take it. Not the pshat that no one else can take it, but mail it's yours. It's yours. The reflection of that is that no one else can take it. So why does it become yours, says Reb Shlomi Zalman? The kainim b'din chotzer. So Reb Shlomi Zalman looked at this Rashi, that Rashi was alluding to exactly the opposite of the way of Soloveitchik learned Rashi. Rashi was saying, it's taka chotzer. It's mine. Why is it mine? Because it's in my backyard. And because it's mine in my backyard, no one else can take it. Mine was the exact opposite extremes in Rashi.
Rashi's referring to Dabar Hefker.
That's correct.
And therefore, maybe you're talking about the original owner. And that's why he's differentiating between...
The original owner?
Whoever lost the Dabar Hefker.
Right, and therefore, so which strat are you going in? Your salvation strat?
Yeah.
So he's saying that's why salvation learned that it's Chatzar? If salvation learns Rashi saying Chatzar.
Right.
I mean, because there's no owner to take it away from you, mean?
Right.
Aha, here, that's where salvation got it from. Could be. Yeah. So according to this, we have a very interesting machlokes achrayim how to learn Rashi. Now, why is this so important to us? Why is this so important to us? We're not learning Bamatzia. The answer is, yeah, but we're learning Gittin. And Rashi and Gittin told us that Dalai Lama's and our Gemara works like Dalai Lama's over here. So now you got to work it out. So if you learn, like Reb Shlomi Zalman, that Dalai Lama's by Gittin is working like the Dalai Lama's, so it's beautiful. It's chatzar. So I make an asina le Dalai Lama's. I make an asina which says everything is great. The problem is if you learn like Reb Soloveitchik, that the Pshat and Rashi in Gittin is like Rashi and Bamatzia, and by Rashi and Bamatzia, it's not working with a regular chotzer type alumnus. It's working that you don't really have it, you have it that no one else can get it, and because no one else can get it, that's the reason why it becomes yours, asks for Soloveitchik. How does that make sense by get? No one can get it anyways. It's only made for, it's written for her. Bish, Lama Bayi Mitzia, I could say, well, no one else can get it, and somehow that's the reason why I get it. But by get, it doesn't make any sense. So ask Rav Soloveitchik, how do you explain by get, according to Rashi? Why is the Isha Kaina by get? Because no one else can get it except for her. No one else can get it anyways. It wasn't written to anyone else. It was written only for her. So Rav Soloveitchik says, you're going to have to say that according to Rashi, it's taka new kinyan. By get works differently than Dalai Lama's. There's only one problem. Rashi by us says that Dalai Lama's by get works the way it works by Mitzvah. It doesn't go to Rav Soloveitchik's Rashi. It's a whole different lundus. So the Tzarachim, I mean, how to make those two Rashi shtim with the lundus of Dalai Lama's. Okay, I think we're done for Dalai Lama's. We'll move on to the next sugi, Mr. Shem, next week.